Today's Veterans Radio program is dedicated to you, our listeners, and to all those at Ave Maria Radio and Al Jazeera America. This is your Veterans Radio. This is Veterans Radio coming to you live on this last broadcast of 2013. I'm your co-host today, Bob Gould, and with me right now from Firebase, New Jersey, Dale Thronberry. Dale.
Hey, good morning, Bob. And I want to introduce Bob Gould, former 101st Airborne and the Big Red One. So if you're going to be one, you might as well be a Big Red One. At least that's what we used to say during the Cold War, right?
Pot it up, Nina. There we go, fading out. Whoa, we're doing something very extraordinary today, folks. We have Dale at Firebase, New Jersey, and here I'm over at the command center in Ann Arbor, Michigan. How's the weather there, Dale?
It is. Well, it's nice and warm. It's about 40 degrees. The snow is gone, and we're looking forward to taking a nice ride up into northern New Jersey today, and I understand that our first guest is also in New Jersey. I probably should have met him over at the Summit Diner if I thought about it.
Well, he's listening. We'll have to ask him about that.
We'll have to ask him about that. But it's really exciting, Bob, to be talking not only with you but also to our audience for 10 years and going into another year of 2014. We've done almost 500 programs, and we've got 52 more to do.
And we couldn't do it without our listeners out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Who are and give us the feedback on the program, and tell us all about how much they enjoy that we bring the stories. We actually bring that right there to your. To your, I was going to say living room, but nobody listens on the living room anymore. They're probably all there. They're in their study or wherever. But we bring that to you folks. And that has been our mantra. And I know Dale and myself have worked week after week to go out there and search for the authors, search for the military personnel that have made these stories happen. Dale?
I think what's really nice, though, Bob, is that we don't have to do as much searching anymore because our listeners are volunteering, the stories of their relatives, the medical care that they've discovered out there. And so we just get to report what's really happening in the world for veterans and for civilians as well. And we're very proud, of course, we are.
Now, we have said we give a voice to the vets, and that is what we do. So when we hear from you, we go out there and we give that voice, the veteran's voice, back to you, the audience.
Absolutely. And, in fact, if you want to get your voice on the air today, you can give us a call, 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. We want to hear from you.
Something else extraordinary happened this year, folks, and it happened right in the last quarter of 2013. It happened to be a Friday afternoon. I was making myself a sandwich with some, hey, what's he telling us all this for? Well, it was an afternoon. The following day, we're going to do our 10th anniversary program, and I was thinking about that. It was about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and there the phone rang. And I looked at the ID, and it said Al Jazeera. At first I go, I don't know this guy from anybody. What's going on? Well, I picked up the phone, and there absolutely was this gentleman with a wonderful British accent on the phone with me from New Jersey, Al Jazeera itself, Mr. John Tourette. John Tourette is a national correspondent extraordinaire for Al Jazeera America. And John has worked for the BBC, completed a couple of tours in Baghdad, and he did all that with Fox News. So he has the experience, and he's calling us, and he said, how would you guys like to be on the program? Dale, what did you think about all that?
I didn't know what to make of it. It's almost like, well, why do these people want to do a program about us? We're just this, you know, we're just a little veterans program, but it's I guess we're a little bit bigger program than we thought we are.
You know, you always think your kids are cute. Hey, look at my daughter. Isn't she great? Yeah, right. But it's the way we felt about the program. Yeah, it's great for yeah, wherever we're broadcast. But then it opened up. So right now, with me on the line is Mr. John Tourette from Al Jazeera America. John, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, Bob and Dale. Good morning. And yes, you are cute, especially you, Bob, I would say that.
Do we have any single women out there? He plays in a band, ice hockey, and has a cat.
Okay, let me tell you the story. We were sitting in the office one day, and one of the briefs that we have at work is that we like to tell stories that really are what we always term the voice of the voiceless. In other words, if we didn't do these stories, if we didn't cover these stories about people, then they probably wouldn't get covered, and they wouldn't get national television exposure. And this can be a whole range of things. But one of the things that is of particular interest to our senior head of programs, David Doss, is the area of veterans affairs. And that dovetails very nicely with what we want to do with our television station in America, because there are lots of untold stories from veterans. And they said, do you know any veteran stories? And I said, well, there is this radio program I know of. It's in Michigan. And they said, well, good, okay, research it and give them a call. And so I went to the Internet that day, that Friday, when you were making your sandwich, Bob. Mm-hmm. I was online in the New Yorker Hotel, and I looked up Veterans Radio, and I couldn't believe it. I was staggered, because the very next day was your 10th anniversary, and television and anniversaries go absolutely hand in glove. So I phoned you up, and I said, look, I know this is short notice. I know this is Al Jazeera, and you probably don't know what you're getting into here, but can we come and film you tomorrow morning at the Big Boy Diner and at the radio station? And you, both of you, very graciously said yes, and we made a lovely, lovely film in which you were both so fantastic, and it ran multiple, multiple times on our channel a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I know we were just absolutely thrilled the fact that you folks came all the way from New Jersey, and you did it in such a short period of time. I think you.
I know, it's funny, because that Friday afternoon, one minute I was going home to have dinner, and the next I was on a plane leaving Newark Airport at 9:30 in the evening and up at 5:30 in the morning to meet you guys at 7:30.
At the Big Boy, too, you know, which I always thought it was so interesting. How many factions that we had together that morning, and you can see that on the, I think you can go to our website and still see that presentation that AJAM made for us. But there we were with the Catholics, and I'm a Jewish fellow, and my partner is Presbyterian, and we're talking with the Arab. And the common theme was veterans. That's yeah. What brought us all together. Dale, do you have something to ask John?
No, I was just going to comment on the same thing I was thinking as you were saying that, Bob, about going around the table with everybody that was there. We had, you know, Catholics, Jews, people from other countries. We had webmasters. We had well-known Christian broadcasters. Everybody was there.
That was the thing, Dale, that really stuck in my mind, because your big boss,
yes,
Cresta, of course, turned up, didn't he? Which was
yes,
just a wonderful thing, because he loves you. He thinks you're absolutely terrific. So suddenly to have the one and only Catholic broadcaster, Cresta, with us in the Big Boy Diner and with us mm-hmm. in the studio was a real bonus.
It was. And you know, we also have to give our kudos to Ave Maria Radio and Mike Jones and Al Cresta and Steve Clark and all the people that have given us the support over the, gosh, how long have we been there, Bob? 6 years now?
Oh, I think
something
it's closer
like
to eight.
And, you know, just the support. It's so difficult sometimes when you have such a niche program like ours, like Veterans Radio, to find a home that is of such high quality. And this is what they have provided with us, and we're so grateful for that. And, of course, we're grateful for what you've done for us, too.
John,
the thing is, you know, you got what you give them a wonderful thing as well, because you turn up week after week after week, and you give them a great program. Week after week after week, rain or shine, snow or hail.
That's true.
John, what is the future of Al Jazeera, America, in the future in journalism? And just very, very quickly, clear up the ties with the government of Qatar.
Well, in the future of the station, I see two veteran broadcasters coming on quite a lot. Because you've already done a couple of news hits for us, and you were very good and very funny and very sort of, you know, enlightening. And it's wonderful to see you on our air. What can I tell you? The Al Jazeera organization is an absolutely huge organization around the world. I think we have something like 6,000 staff. There are multiple channels. There's the Arabic channel, there's the English channel, now there's the America channel, there's a channel in the Balkans, there's one they're starting in the UK very shortly, specifically for the UK. They're going to start one in France and Spain, I think. And there are children's channels and sports channels and documentary channels, all sorts of things. It's a very, very, very big company. And it is indeed funded at the moment by the government of Qatar. That's quite right. Now, Qatar is a tiny little Gulf state, and it's the Emir's passion to turn it into one of the very best places in the world to live. And so he has a five-star airline flying out of there, which flies all the way around the world. He has the television stations, and he also has the very best in American healthcare there and American universities, all the big ones, all the Ivy Leagues are there. It's a very, very pleasant place, and it's a very close ally of the United States. And I like to tell people that the Gulf War, that is to say the Iraq War specifically, was run. Everything that you ever heard about happening in Iraq, the decisions were taken in Doha, Qatar, because that's where CENTCOM is. So they were taken in Doha and at CENTCOM in Florida, at the Pentagon or the White House.
Well, then, your commitment to the veteran outreach, I think that's a good word, the veteran interest, is now part of the makeup of Al Jazeera. And I want to say something else, folks. Al Jazeera America is staffed by Americans. Isn't that right, John?
Yes, that's right. It absolutely is. I mean, it is I forget how many we employ in the United States now. I think it's like 800 people. We have bases in San Francisco and New York. And I'm personally based in New York at the New Yorker Hotel, which is our base for the next couple of years, and Washington, D.C. And we have bureaus in Nashville and Seattle and Detroit and all over the country, Florida. And, yeah, I think I'm about the only foreigner, really, Bob, to be honest with you. I'm sort of the only guy that doesn't speak with an American accent.
Well, I think you do quite well, and we want to continue to have that relationship with Veterans Radio. Isn't that right, Dale?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're looking forward to working with John again. It's always so exciting when we show up at the radio station and there's a satellite truck there.
Oh, I know. And, folks, let me tell you, you get a real appreciation for these folks that are on day after day, nightly, doing these stories. It's work. It really is. We do, probably Dale and I, 20 hours or so worth of research for 3 minutes. So, yeah. Okay, John, I look forward to speaking with you in 2014, working with Al Jazeera America. Dale?
We are excited also to work with you, John, and we've got some more stories we want to head in your direction, because sometimes we just don't have enough time to tell all of our stories that are out there.
Well, I mean, it's been a real joy finding you guys and working with you and having you on, and you're just so professional and you're so pleasant and appropriately funny when it's appropriate to be lighthearted, and we love all of that. And I'm sure we'll be seeing you a lot more in 2014. I know David, our boss, is very keen to have you on some more and to pursue these Veterans Affairs stories, so we'll be coming to you and working with you, I'm sure. And in the meantime, I'd like to wish you and Nina and
Maria,
yep, that's right, a very,
yep,
very
listening.
Happy New Year. Wonderful 2014. And Dale, I don't know about the Broadway Diner. How about the Beacon Tavern?
Well, maybe. We'll see what we can do. Thanks, John.
I'll let you guys. John, thank you very much. You have a blessed rest of the holiday. Safe for you and your family. We'll talk to you next year. How about that?
Happy New Year. Bye, guys.
Happy New Year, John.
Bye-bye.
Wow, Dale. Holy moly. You know, folks, Okay, you're on the radio, and you get a call. Now, we got a call, actually, last year from a network that shall remain anonymous because they didn't want to use us after all. After stringing us along for about 5 weeks, they decided not. Well, then again, here came the right opportunity.
Well, you never know. And the whole thing about it seems like in the broadcasting business is being in the right place at the right time, and it just seemed to work out just perfectly. So I'm very excited about what these people offer us, and they also, you know, they give us another venue to get our stories out, and hey, that's not all bad.
Well, based on that, we'll be right back right after this very important message. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You're listening to Veterans Radio on WDEO 990 AM in Ann Arbor, Michigan, WMAX 1440 AM in Saginaw, Michigan, WDEO 98.5 FM in Naples, Florida, and online at AveMariaRadio.net.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
White and blue, I am for you. Honest, you're a grand old flag. You're a grand old flag, you're a high-flying flag, and forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heart beats true under...
Oh, yeah. Hearts beat true to the... Isn't that great? To the red, white, and blue. Every time I see that movie... Folks, you cannot sit down. You cannot sit down at a reggae concert or watching the movie Yankee Doodle Dandy with all about George N. Cohan and James Cagney. Oh, man. Mm.
It's a fascinating story. You know, and I was thinking as I was listening to that is about the, you know, the American values that we promote on our program. It's almost like you're going back and looking at the Boy Scouts and the, you know, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Sounds like a lot of vets I know.
It does, doesn't it? You know, and you think about what you learned while you were in the service and what lessons that you took with you when you left. And I think that there's a lot of those things that are still out there. We just have to remind people that that really is the core of who we are. And that's very exciting to me to have the ability to just talk to American people and remind them, you know, of what they are.
And speaking about, we've had some extraordinary programs in this past year. Of course, they're all extraordinary, but really, really hit the star meter. And one of them that I did, Stories of America, was on Father Capon, Father Emile Capon, who received posthumously the Medal of Honor this year in March. And we did that program. Of course, it was live like everything else. We had the Archbishop of the military. There is such a thing. Archbishop of the military was on, as well as the vicar over at Wichita. There we are, Wichita Diocese. There we are.
Right.
Yeah, there,
right,
we'll get that one right. We got the diocese. But Father Capon, his time, he died in captivity in 1951. He was a POW in Korea, and there's been a large effort by not only the clergy but also of military folks, especially survivors that were POWs in Korea, to talk about Father Capon and to beatify, and he's in that process right now of beatification. Foundation. Well, we had that program. It was in honor of Father Capon, March 16th. You can go to our archives. What about our archives, Dale?
Our archives are doing great. I'm just looking at them right now, and it looks like we've done a couple of programs on Father Capon, and the one that you're referring to was on April 6th.
And what happened on March 16th?
That was that's a different one. That was Mission to Tokyo.
Okay.
And, but anyway.
So much for my files, folks.
Yeah, maybe we had to push it forward for some reason, whatever. But anyway, yeah, you were talking. Again, you can go to our archives on veteransradio.net and go down to the 6th of April, and you've got Bob talking with John Hotze, priest and judicial vicar for the Catholic Diocese of Wichita, Kansas, and Roy Wenzel, who wrote the report for the Wichita Eagle and the book about Father Capon, and a couple of soldiers that were in Camp 5 with him. And it's a great story, Bob, and it's been one that we've been following for a couple of years, and probably if I'd thought about it, I could have gone back into the archives and found our original story that we did on Father Capon. But it's just an amazing man. And, I mean, he sacrificed everything for his fellow soldiers.
We had, folks, you're going to want to go to the archives and get that and listen to that program at the very end. I found, before the program, somebody who was there with Father Capon when he died. And the gentleman happens to be a pastor in North Carolina. And every day with Father Capon, he and the priest would read the 23rd Psalm. And so he still had that copy in his hand all these years. Now, folks, this is live, and we're doing this. So the end of the program, and I asked him to read the 23rd Psalm. Boy, there wasn't a dry eye in this station. And I know that Dale and Nina and Maria, we can all attest to that. So if anything that really brought that, as Veterans Radio not only talked about the honored priest, but talked exactly with somebody who was there. That's what we would know. How many stories do you have, Dale, that you could think of?
Oh, the list is becoming more and more. It's almost endless, and it's so, I can't even think of the word right now, but it's so powerful for us to talk to some of these men and women and listen to what they've gone through and what they are continuing to do after they get out of the service. You know, they take the lessons that they've learned, and they put them into the civilian life, and they either are, you know, going on to these great careers, or they're trying to get involved in you know, resolving conflict around the world. I'm just looking at a program right after the Father Capon, where we were talking to Robert Du Bois, who's a Navy SEAL, and he wrote a book called Powerful Peace. And he goes around now giving these presentations on what he learned in the military and how he can use what he learned there to, you know, stop all of these conflicts of what he calls often absurd origins that's ever present, innocent victims, and his potential solutions.
You know, and that's something else, folks. Somebody asked me the other day about, well, where's your politics on the program? Well, it's not left and it's not right. It's right there in the middle, just like the porridge. Not too hot, it's not too cold, it's just right. And Dale, that's always been you and I going out there, and we do test the limits. There's been a few.
Sure.
I mean, but we don't dwell on it. So here it is. You folks want more information, go out and research that yourself. We present the highlights. And I know that Dale will agree with me on that. Coming up in 2014, I'm already booking into March and April.
Well, I think one of the things that we want our audience to know, and for people that are tuning in for the very first time, is that we just take the message and we deliver it to you, and you do with it what you want. But we want to make sure that you're aware of all of these programs that are available to veterans and to their families. The constant training. When you get out of the military, you can go to college, you can go to a trade school, you can use the VA facilities for a certain amount of time. You can become part of a research group. Maybe you've got a particular injury that is no one's seen before. And I was just thinking, the program we did just a couple of weeks ago, that it's a hospital in Columbus, Ohio, that Nationwide Children's Hospital has come up with a method of finding shrapnel in Well, it started off in children, you know, because children will put things in their bodies, you know, who knows where, and they couldn't be found. And so they're finding these shrapnel pieces in these fighters, the warriors, and they're working with the VA and the DOD and training the military doctors in order to help these men and women who have been wounded. I find that stuff just so powerful.
And it's powerful that we're able to give those little small minor facts to you folks. Yeah, you can get the big stuff on the news. Yeah, right, right. But we go out there at Veterans Radio, and that's always been our goal, is to go and find these little facts and figures. Can I mention one right now, Dale? I'll make this very quickly.
Okay.
I was hoping to have the author back on, but it is early in the morning, and I'm going to see here. Did he make it on? No. Okay. John McManus was on the program last week, and we were talking about his book, Alamo and the Ardennes, and what it was, the Battle of Bastogne, the Ardennes, and the push by the Germans. And there was a moment where the Germans asked for the troopers at Bastogne, the 101st Airborne, was surrounded at Bastogne. They sent a message to the commanding general, and the commanding general responded back. Well, here is the story. I asked John that particular story, and he said General McCulloch had just been looking at the maps and had a plan. And he was ready to implement that plan. And he had studied those maps for hours with his commanders. And they were ready to make a move to break out when the note came from the German commander on the field to surrender. He looked at that, and that's when he said, "Aw, nuts." And so, because he was just did all this work, and I mean, it was sort of a mundane response. So he did all this work, and doggone it, and now I'm going to have to start again. What's going on here? And at that moment, his adjutant says, "Well, what are you going to say to the German general?" And McCulloch kind of looked at him and said, "How about this?" And so they took out the awe and just sent nuts. That, folks, comes directly from somebody who did all that research. Now, where are you going to find that information? Anywhere except on the internet and Veterans Radio. How about
that,
Dale?
And, you know, it's very humorous. I mentioned this earlier that we were on my way out here. I was on Highway 33 in Pennsylvania, and I went across the General McCulloch Bridge, and I said it was dedicated to the World War II general who said nuts to the Germans.
And now you know the real story.
That says Paul Harvey. You know the rest of the story.
You know the
rest
of the story.
That's what we do. We fill in the blanks sometimes.
And folks, we have been out there in the field. We were working with some reenactors and found one young man. I was trying to reach him this morning. Couldn't do that. But we found one young man, 12 years old, with his grandfather, mm-hmm. And they were both reenactors at the Yankee Air Museum's Thunder Over Michigan annual show. And to be able to work with an organization like the Yankee Air Museum just gives us access not only to the military people, but to you civilians that want to experience that experience. And so the reenactor, it was down, folks, right to the web belt, right to the, I think they even used Brasso on their belt buckles. And
oh, they were cool.
They were so cool, ready to go. They had stuff that I hadn't seen. By the way, they happened to be dressing with the 101st Airborne. Hey, okay. For us to be able to see that and to feel that, then we're able to give that same response back to you folks, that there are folks out there that are experiencing the whole military, and it's making a difference for the soldiers coming back. What about that transition, Dale?
Well, you know, I think we're going to do more programming about that, because we were talking about what happens to, not what happens, but how men and women readjust to coming back to civilian life. In fact, when we were on the TV the other, whatever that was, last week or a couple
Monday.
Weeks ago, they were, you know, we had researched this whole question, and I came up with a book that we had on Veterans Radio by a gentleman named Jonathan Shay, S-H-A-Y, and this guy is the expert on post-traumatic stress disorder for the Boston area VA hospital, and he's written two books, one called Achilles in Vietnam, and the other one was called Odysseus in America. And these are these Greek stories that, you know, we studied in high school and college and so forth about these warrior cultures and how these men were treated when they came home from these amazing battles. Well, the thing that what they were treated was they weren't allowed to even go back into the civilian world for over a month. They kept them out of the cities and let them calm down, in other words, and let them, you know, readjust and get out of that warrior mentality. I mean, you got to remember, if you're in a, for those of you that have done this, you know, when you're in a battle, you're in a battle for survival, and everything, all of your senses are at the highest levels, and you just need to bring those down. And this is one of the things that we talked about on the program. This is what all of these experts that we've had on Veterans Radio that talk about post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, and all these other things, that this is what we need to do. We just need these men and women to, you know, come down off of that adrenaline high, which sometimes takes a long time. And then that's what we're trying to do. We want to help these men and women. They're great people.
And I
they
think,
just need a little understanding.
And I think also, when the stories that we do bring, we bring that these are folks.
They're just like you and me.
They took a little time out of their life, and now they're back, and now they're going to get their life back together again and go on living and create a life. But I don't even, sometimes I even chase at when I hear things like calm down, because they're not like you come back and my hands shake. And no, it's not that at all, folks. You've just been in a very exciting experience. Think about the exciting experiences that you've had, whether they've been negative or positive or what, and how that does affect you for time. So we're not looking necessarily to put them in straitjackets, of course not. But those transition programs that we will be talking about in 2014 will make that a whole lot smoother. I know one that I have here, Suits for Veterans. There is that's a prime example of veterans helping veterans. This gentleman had 1,000 suits donated, and within the last month, 50 of them have been given out. He just had a big rally in Detroit. 50 of them have been given out to veterans, to us, and they even tell them how to tie a tie. They give them a shirt, how to go and get out there and have an interview. I think that stuff is great.
That's just only, you know, that's the tip of the iceberg, because there are so many organizations, so many companies and corporations that want to hire veterans, but they, you know, these young men and women who, many of them went into the service at 18 years old, they're now getting out at 22, 23 years old. When have they ever had to go on an interview? When have they ever had to wear a suit? And it's like you said, you know, even knowing how to tie a tie, I still have problems with that. You know, but, you know, think about it. And these are all skills that the military is teaching them, and that the corporations, and that there are so many wonderful organizations out there right now. And that's what we're going to be promoting all of 2014, with all of these wars winding down. The military, we know, is going to cut back. They always do that. And we've got to make sure that these men and women get good jobs, and we're going to make sure that we help them do that.
Whew, boy, wow, we're coming up on a break right now, our halfway through break. So, Dale, stay on the line with us, and we have Dwight Zimmerman. Eddie's Dwight, there he is. I believe he's in, is he in New Jersey or New York?
He's in Brooklyn, I hope.
Oh, Firebase Brooklyn. We'll be right back right after these messages. Don't go away. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You're listening to Veterans Radio live from our flagship station, WEEDEO 990 AM in Ann Arbor, Michigan, WMAX 1440 AM in Saginaw, Michigan, WDEO 98.5 FM in Naples, Florida, and online at AveMariaRadio.net.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Yeah, that's the Ave Maria band right outside there.
In our studio.
Things are a little tight here, folks. But anyway, Dale, I'm going to let you introduce somebody who really doesn't need an introduction, who's been listening to the program in the past. Dale, why don't you take it from there?
I will do that. And I want to remind our audience that you can give us a call and, you know, give your comments or questions, whatever you might want to do, at 877-573-7825. I also want to remind our audience that you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And our programs are being podcast through the AveMaria.net network. If you go to their website, AveMaria.radio.net, and click on podcast, you're going to find that down in the list, Veterans Radio, and they're all up there, usually within about an hour of doing the program. So it's all of you out there that are on those Apple iPods and so forth. That's where you can get those programs. And, of course, you can go to our archives at veteransradio.net, and we've got, I don't know, 6-7 years worth of programming on there. So, you know, enjoy yourself. There's many stories that I think that you'll really enjoy. One of the stories that we always have going on that at least a couple of times a year is our good friend Dwight Zimmerman, who is an award-winning author on his own and president currently of the Military Writers Society of America. And this guy, he knows everything, it seems, about the military, and if he doesn't know it, he knows the contact. So this is the guy who gives us a lot of our information. So, Dwight, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. Thank you, Bob, and hello, everyone from Firebase Brooklyn.
That's right. And, you know, we've been talking about some of the programs that we've done this year that are we haven't even gotten into the books yet, and I tried to write down my list of favorites, and you know, it's endless. So I got to remind the people, of course, to go to the veteransradiobookstore.com, and all of the books that have been on the program for the last year, year and a half are on there. You can click on it and buy it, and if in case you forgot to get somebody a particular Christmas present, here's your opportunity to get that. And
yes,
so Dwight,
I was looking over that list prior to the show. And I have to say, I was really impressed. You know, when you're in the trenches doing all this stuff, the interviews and everything, you know, you're just focusing on doing the work. And I went to the Veterans Radio Bookstore site, just strolling through to refresh my memory on things. And I was really amazed at the variety and quality of the books that are available on there.
Well, I think it's amazing the people that you've been able to pull onto the program and the people that we've gotten from publishers and people have recommended particular books that we should read. And we can kind of go back and forth here, but, you know, tell me some of the ones that you found to be really inspiring this year.
Well, I mean, aside from the ones that I wrote?
Yeah, aside from those.
Well, tell us about that first, Dwight. No, really.
I have to say, obviously, I'm proud of all of the books that I've written, but the one that really stands out for me is Uncommon Valor.
Absolutely.
Which is about the Medal of Honor and the warriors who earned it in the conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq. It was the most difficult book I ever had to write, only in the respect of, since most of these decorations were awarded posthumously,
right,
writing the sequence of events of the last moments of these individuals' lives was extraordinarily difficult. There were times where the tears were just coming down my cheeks, and I had to step back and walk away and just walk away from it for a while to compose myself, because it was just so wrenching. And, I mean, I'm the only civilian in this crew, so as a civilian, the burden I felt especially was to be as honest as I could, with knowing that I would never have all the information possible to tell that story. I'd gather as much as I could. I would arrange it, and as you know, combat situations can get very chaotic and confusing, so I had to weave the different threads together in a way that I felt seemed the most logical and the best way to do it. And I can only hope that to people who were there, who did witness the event, that they were happy with the result that I did.
Well, it's a very powerful book, folks, and I know that you've also updated it to include more recent Medal of Honor recipients. When you first started writing it, I think there were only six. Is that what it was? Is that the number?
Actually, when we got the contract, there were four, and as I was writing, a couple more appeared, and then when the book was released, two more were announced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so as you pointed out, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I think people need to really read these citations and read the story that Dwight has put together in this, because you can't imagine what these men are doing, at the height of their terror in their minds, and the adrenaline is rushing, and they're just doing their job over and over and over again. They don't care about their own personal well-being. They only care about their men and women that are fighting with them. And it's just always so. I'm stuttering here, and I know Bob doesn't like it when I stutter. But
deep breath, Dale.
But it's just so powerful when you read these stories, and for many people that have been in a combat situations, sometimes you look at these stories and it brings you back to something that maybe you witnessed, and you're going, wow, there are so many of these amazing men and women that do these things. And I really encourage people to get this book, this Uncommon Valor. I mean, you'll be fascinated by what these men have done.
And Dwight, I want to personally thank you for all the authors that you've helped us come in contact with the MSWA folks, the Military Raiders Society of America. Real quickly, is there a website where they can go and find out more information about the military writers?
Thank you. Yes, Bob, there is. The Military Raiders Society of America is an association composed mostly of veterans, though not exclusively. After all, they made me president, which I was very surprised at. We do have a website. It's MWSADispatches.com, and you can find out about the organization, or you just Google it by going Military Writers Society of America. You will find out all about the organization, how to join. What we do encourage is, and in fact, it was the mission statement, the original mission statement of the organization, was to help veterans and their families tell their stories, to preserve the history of that. Because, yes, we have historians who do the big picture stories, when I interviewed Rick Atkinson for The Guns of Last Light, that monumental account of the final years of World War II. Many great stories in there. But to bring out a lot of the personal ones that get overlooked, that is our mission in the Military Writers Society of America, to get yours out. Dale, mm-hmm. yours.
Right. Well,
we're
no,
waiting.
No, you guys keep threatening me. But the neat thing about so many of the writers that I have met through the Military Society is that they're children of veterans who have uncovered letters that their mother or their father had written home during whatever war they happened to be in, and they're just so meaningful. And they've encouraged me to go back and read the letters that my dad had written to my mom or to my sister during World War II. And I'm even thinking about getting, digging out the letters that I wrote home to see what I was really thinking at that time. And it's so cool when you see what's happening with that.
Wasn't that a book? Didn't we have 1,000 letters home?
Well, we had one of those. We had one called Dr. Tom's War by Lucia Vitti, who wrote about her father, who was a battalion surgeon in Vietnam. I'm looking at all these things.
Coffin's Corner, that was written by her dad, but that was promoted by his daughter, Cherry, the author's daughter. Coffin Corner,
right.
Yep.
Right. We had On the Wings of Dawn, World War II by Laura Edge, reading her father's story of being a POW during World War II. And she lives here locally in the Saline area. And, you had Tom Walsh talking about American pilots in the Royal Canadian Air Force.
Canadians, that's right.
Yes. We got an email from somebody way up in somewhere, Alberta, thanking us for doing that story because they said, oh, my dad had been in the Canadian, you know, Air Force. And it's so fun. Well, Dwight, we've kind of taken away your time here, but...
That's quite all right. As you said, there are so many great books.
Yes, so tell me another one that you liked.
Well,
tell me another one of your favorites.
Okay, Fallujah Awakens. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get the author Bill Ardolino on the show. He had something come up. But I would like to just real briefly talk about that book because it was just so stunning. I did a review of it, and I'm going to just read a couple of paragraphs of this. Many authors, this reviewer included, have written about Al-Qaeda in Iraq and the American counterinsurgency campaign in Iraq. Ardolino was a reporter embedded with various American and Iraqi units during these months. His book is based on his experience and is more than 120 interviews of American and Iraqi participants. Arguably, the book's most important contribution is the wealth of material telling the Iraqi side of the story. It provides a powerful counterpoint and, in some cases, mirror image of the Marine experience there. Ardolino cogently explains with rare and remarkable clarity intimate details of Iraqi tribal dynamics, a Gordian knot reality of contradictions and complexity so confusing to outsiders that Western writers often glossed it over with the oversimplified and unhelpful label tribal politics. Ardolino is devastatingly effective in revealing how Al-Qaeda in Iraq, other insurgents, and criminal elements manipulated and distorted Islam for their own ends, eventually to a point of overreach that finally swung the local population over to the side of the Americans. It was such a powerful book. I learned so much from it. And the book is Fallujah Awakens, which is available on the Veterans Radio bookstore. And I would urge anyone who's interested in finding out in depth, in a very local way, what was going on there in both the minds of the Marines that were stationed in this area and their Iraqi counterparts.
Yeah,
Ardolino did the best job of I have yet read to bring out the ground truth of what was going on.
I've not read anything better,
yeah. And I've written about the stuff.
Yeah, it's a great story. In fact, we're going to have a young Marine on coming up in the next couple of weeks who was in Fallujah. And he's going to be telling his version of the story. So I'm excited to do that. I want to encourage everybody to go to our website, veteransradio.net, and go to our archives and go down and look at the books of the authors that Dwight has talked to on his at-ease segments of the program. And we're going to have to cut away from you, Dwight, right now. It's just like being on television. We want to get as much information as we can, but we just run out of time. So, Dwight, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dale. Thank you, Bob. Nina, Maria, everyone at Veterans Radio, and I wish all of you and our listeners a prosperous 2014.
Thank you very much, Dwight, and we're going to take a real quick break, and we will be right back after these messages. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You're listening to Veterans Radio Live on WDEO 990 AM in Ann Arbor, Michigan, WMAX 1440 AM in Saginaw, Michigan, WDEO 98.5 FM in Naples, Florida, or listen online at AveMariaRadio.net.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Crying too. I've got to get out of town. So city just brings me down.
Remember that, Ricky? That we got to get out of this place. We've only got a few more minutes. Dale, what do you got in store for us?
Well, I just wanted to remind everybody, to go to our Veterans Radio Network, our Veterans Radio Net website, check on our archives, and you can follow all the stories that we've been talking about here and the stories that are going to be coming up in the future. I'm very excited to let our audience know what's going to be happening in 2014, and I know that you're going to start off the year with your favorite person to talk about the situation in the world.
And we do get a lot of emails about the guest coming up on January 4th, Dr. Rebecca Grant. She is one great person, great lady, really knows her stuff. She's president of IRIS, Independent Research Institute. Forgot what the is. Well, anyway, IRIS, Dr. Rebecca Grant. You see her on the Military Channel. She is on quite frequently. And by the way, quite a few of our guests are on national television. But Dr. Grant is the spokesperson for the Air Force. Her organization is the think tank. Air Force comes up with the, all right, we're going to do this, guys, gals, here we go. And then they give it to Dr. Grant and her organization, and they do all the research and put it all together. So she knows what's going on out there. We're going to be talking about China.
China. What's going on there, right?
Oh, more than chopsticks, I can tell you that. And there's some disputed territory. And when I found this little blurb, I don't think that thing was four sentences. I've heard hardly anything at all. The vice president is working with the Chinese government right now to resolve that. And what does this? Do you know that the Chinese have stealth, Dale? They have stealth technology.
Well, big surprise.
Well, I know, but we were supposed to have this 20-year head start in. So we're back to, I hope it doesn't morph into another Cold War where we're all trying to run up each other with a bigger bomb or whatever.
We don't want that to happen.
No. Yeah. But the interesting dilemma, folks, is that China is our big creditor. Think about that. And yet we still have to have a defensive posture with the Chinese. We have to. And so Dr. Grant will outline that and will outline the Air Force response. Not only that, I think we're also going to touch on what I call the Ardennes, the Belgium of the Far East, and that's going to be about Korea, which brings me to another program on January the 18th. We're going to talk about the one thing that we haven't talked about in Korea is the Pueblo.
Yes, 1968.
1968, what happened there? The Pueblo, the author will be on our program. We're going to be talking about that. An Act of War is the name of the book. We're going to have the author for that. So we're going to be covering up to date. Maybe even if John's still listening, wouldn't that be a great story for Al Jazeera, huh? Dale, go ahead.
There's going to be all kinds of stories like that. We're going to be revisiting some of our authors that are coming out with new books and new stories. And, of course, our programs are ultimately determined by you, our listeners. If you want us to tell war stories, let us know what stories you want to hear. If you want us to talk about benefits, we'll talk about benefits. We've been doing this for 10 years. We're very fortunate now to have contacts with people at the pretty high levels in the VA system, and of course our politicians, John Dingell, and the local area, the congressman who's been a congressman forever. This guy knows everything. And we're able to help out, I think. And so if you have any questions, just make sure you go to our website, click on Contact Us, or send Bob an email or Dale an email at veteransradio.net, and we'll find it out. We'll do the research for you. We've got people that want to help us out. And if you want to get involved with Veterans Radio, you are more than welcome to contact us and let us know what stories you might want to work on.
2014, folks, is going to be a very historical year when it comes to World War II. It's going to be the 70th anniversary of D-Day and the 70th anniversary of the Battle in the Ardennes. Two just significant events with World War II. We're going to be covering that.
Well, these conflicts just they just won't go away. And then I'm finding myself that as I get a little bit older, I want to know more about the things that I participated in. I want to know more about the things that our dads and our moms participated in. I was, you know, I'm out here in New Jersey visiting in-laws and found out that my mother-in-law had worked in a bomber plant making bombing scopes, targeting things, you know, where, and she would take strands of blonde hair and make the crosshairs.
Wow.
Inside of the, you know, inside of the bombing sites. And, you know, these stories you don't even know. I mean, you'd be amazed what your relatives did during these times when they needed to step up, and they did.
The more that we get out, folks, Dale and I, the more. I mean, these stories are endless. We could. How long could we be on the air, Dale?
Well, I don't know. How old are we?
Not old enough right now. But
not old enough yet, but we're, you know, we're learning more and more. I just got a book the other day about, you know, remember that the WASP, the women pilots?
Yes.
that flew airplanes from coast to coast.
Yes.
And were test pilots and stuff. I just got another book by one of those, so they'll be on next year. It's just great stuff, and we're very excited to be able to talk to our young men and women when they get home and to make sure that they, you know, they can make that transition as easily as possible, and our job is to help them do that.
And I think telling their stories now, we're finding more and more. At first there was like, oh, who are you guys? But now we're finding more and more are coming forward because they do want, the public to know the truth, what's going on, and what did happen, and what is going to happen in the future going in the Middle East.
Right.
Well, go ahead.
No, I just want to remind our audience, you know, that check out what's going on in your town. There are always...
And let us know.
Yeah, and let us know. There are lectures. There are activities. Thunder Over Michigan, again, is going to be coming up in August of this year, and I think they actually are going to have the military precision flyers are going to be there again. I think it's the Thunderbirds. And so they're going to be able to do that.
And that was something I had a question for John Dingell, Congressman Dingell. Unfortunately, his schedule would not let him go on, but there has been, the budget was just passed, so there some of that money has been reallocated again.
Right.
And outright, so now we can see that. Whew, wow, yeah. Dale, whoa, 2014, we're ready to go. And folks, we do have a network. We have a network. We contribute to Al Jazeera,
right,
America, and they contribute to us. We are both working together, and the message is getting out outreach to veterans. Dale?
You're absolutely right, Bob. That's what we're trying to do. We want to get our messages out, and we want to make sure that our veterans and their families are aware of what they're entitled to, and maybe just at some place where they can tell their stories, because sometimes just getting that story out really does help. And you'll find out that you're not the only one that is going through whatever you're going through, and maybe we can put you in touch with the person that will be able to get you the benefit, get you the scholarship, get you the job, whatever it happens to be. So just let us know what's happening and what you want to hear, and we'll do it for you.
One of the things that I come in contact with when I talk to relatives of veterans, and would you like to have replicas of their awards? Oh, I don't know how to do that. Well, here's how you do that. So we have that information available through Veterans Radio. So we can make these things available to you. As far as the benefits, we're going to stay right on top of that story. There's so much out there, and it needs to be categorized, I guess. You know, you could be overwhelmed when you start looking at what's available out there.
Yes, and we're in the process of putting together a network of those benefit specialists around the country that we can refer you to. So you let us know where you live, and we'll say, okay, here's the man or the woman to contact, and maybe they're the ones that will help you get through the system, because sometimes the system gets bogged down.
All right, folks, we've got about 30 seconds here.
Okay.
And Dale, we've got new stuff. We're redesigning our website so
yep.
It serves our listeners better. Can you very quickly tell us about that?
I can only tell you that we're in the process of getting it rebuilt. We're meeting with the webmasters next week, and hopefully that thing will be up in the next 2 weeks to a month, and you'll have access to everything that you need, and with your help, we're going to put the links on there to get people where they want to go.
And there's going to be a Kickstart program, and I won't tell you any more about that. We'll tell you more the following week. We'll be right back here on January the 4th, 2014, over here at Veterans Radio at Ave Maria Command Post. Dale, say goodbye from New Jersey.
Okay, well, from New Jersey, you are dismissed.
All views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.